Tonight, we're going to take a look at a subject that comes up every now and then. And in the body of Christ, there's a lot of confusion about this. We're going to be talking about familiar spirits. And, you know, it seems like that a lot of people, Christians, they talk about familiar spirits, but then a lot of people don't seem to really know what they're talking about. And over the years, I've heard people that are supposed to be, I guess you could call them experts in the area of devils and so forth. And I've heard so much teaching that is so wrong. And then I've heard a lot of teaching that is very good. One of the things that I have found is that there are a lot of people out there who seem to be giving the devil a whole lot more credit than what he's due. And I've had people ask me in the past about, you know, devils and demons and, you know, dealing with spirits and so forth. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you got a lot of people out there that teach courses on things like demonology. There are Christian colleges that will have things like that, demonology and so forth. And I'll just be honest with you, I just don't know why. Seriously, I don't know why. Somebody says, well, because, Brother Martin, we need to know about these things. Well, that's true, we do. The Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But I'm just not so sure why there's so much focus on devils. Now think about this. I think if we focus more on who we are in Christ, we're not going to be so caught up in the devils and the demons. Now I want you to think with me for a moment. Did Jesus seem concerned about devils and demons? No, he cast them out, didn't he? And yet today in the body of Christ, you'll have, you know, demon seminars where we're going to teach you how to deal with demons and we're going to teach you how to deal with devils and so forth. Well, I can tell you how to deal with demons and devils. Just read the New Testament and see what Jesus did. It's not that hard. It's just not that difficult. And yet you've got all these things that go on to, you know, try to teach people about devils and teach people about demons and you know, what kind of devil is it and so forth. Well, what difference does it make? What? But anyway, before I get too many more people upset with me, let's take a look at this. We're going to talk tonight about familiar spirits. And we're going to look at several passages of Scripture to answer the question. Well, not so much to answer the question, but to identify, really, what is a familiar spirit. Now, first off, this term is used by a whole lot of Christians when they're talking about and describing a variety of demonic behavior. You know, well, what are we dealing with? Well, I think we're dealing with a familiar spirit. And it seems like no matter what a person is going through, the whole thing of familiar spirit comes up a lot. And like I said, it's used to describe a tremendous amount of activity, or demonic activity. But let's take a look and see what the Bible has to say, okay? Look in Leviticus chapter 19. And again, we're going to take a look at a lot of Scripture on the subject. Leviticus chapter 19. And God is speaking to the nation of Israel. If you look in verse 31, it says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Now, I want to point something out right here and right now. And this applies to the body of Christ as well, because we can see warnings about it in the New Testament, but not just in these words. Where he says, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. You need to understand, if you start dilly-dallying around with this stuff, there's a defilement that's going to come. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to lose your salvation, but I am going to tell you that there is a defilement that will come into your life. I'm not even saying you'll be possessed, okay? There is a defilement that will come into your life if you start fooling around with this stuff. But notice it says, regard not them that have familiar spirits. Now, what does that tell us right there? It tells us that familiar spirits have been around for thousands of years. And that they were in operation thousands of years ago. And God knew about it. And He's warning the nation of Israel about it to stay away from it. Now, why would He warn them to stay away from it unless there was a potential for them to get involved? That same morning would be should be heeded by us today. These things go on. They go on all the time. And we are warned of God to stay away from it. Let's look at some more passages. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such that as have familiar spirits, or in other words, the person who goes after people like this, and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, why would God do that? Because there's a defilement that takes place. Look, you've got people in the body of Christ right now, Christians, that deal around with this stuff and they don't think anything about it. They don't take it seriously. If it was serious then, it's serious now. You need to understand that. Just because you're delivered, you're born again and so forth, doesn't mean you're supposed to just fool around with this stuff. Jesus didn't fool around with it. He dealt with it, but he didn't fool around with it. You understand what I mean? Look in verse 27, same chapter. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Now, I want you to notice the difference here. He's been talking about seeking after people that have them. Now he's talking about people that have them. In other words, we're talking about an intimate relationship, if you will, between an individual and what he calls a familiar spirit. A man also or a woman. So it can be a man or a woman. Doesn't have to be just one or just the other. It can be a man or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard. Now look here. Shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And what does that tell you? Now, without going too far off into this, if you as a Christian start fooling around with this stuff, the day is going to come where you could walk away from your salvation. Now, I know a lot of people are caught up in the thing about eternal security. But the bottom line is this. If you don't take God's word for what it says, you are going to be messed up. And remember, the Old Testament is a type and shadow of what is to come. This warning, God is telling us, listen, there are familiar spirits back then and familiar spirits today. You start dealing with the devils as though that's just something. There are Christians that have, I've heard these stories, Christians that have sought after power from demonic spirits. Christians who have invoked demonic spirits to try and cast spells on other Christians. And we talked about this before. Do curses work on Christians? Get that sermon. I show you from Scripture how they don't. Brother Martin, I don't believe you. I think they do. Well, you need to get that sermon and listen to it. It's right in there in the Word of God. It's clear and simple. Well, anyway, he says they're supposed to be put to death and their blood shall be upon them. Now look over in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 11. And he's talking about the people that are not to be found in the land of Israel. You're not supposed to find people who are a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. Necromancer is somebody that tries to communicate with the dead. So here we have somebody who is a consulter with familiar spirits. A consulter, that means this is somebody who interacts with these spirits. Okay? Now look over in, he says they're not supposed to be found in the land. In other words, type and shadow for today. That garbage goes on in your church, you better deal with it, and you better deal with it fast, because somebody's opened a door for the devil to walk in. I'm serious now. You find out this is going on in your church, you better deal with it. They're not to be found in the land, they're not to be found in your church. I mean, what Christian in their right mind would want to fool around with this stuff anyway? But it goes on. They don't need to be in your church. Because they know what they're doing. They just don't care. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 28, what's happened here, we're not going to read this whole story. We're just going to get parts of it. But Saul is the king of Israel. All right. And to pick this story up, look in verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him, and buried him at Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So Saul had taken it, just like the law said, you know, get them out of the land. Well, the enemy began to mount an attack. In verse 4, it talks about how the Philistines were getting ready to make war. And then in verse 7, it says, Saul said unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And then in verse 10, Saul says, as sure as the Lord liveth, nothing will happen to you. Well, anyway, the point I want to make is, Saul went looking for somebody who communicated with familiar spirits. Now, today, what corresponds to that would be, you know, these fortune tellers. You know, have your palm read and so forth. That's what these people do. I don't care what they tell you. They are communicating with familiar spirits. You need to understand that. So have your fortune told, have your, you know, there are people that try to feel the bumps on your head and tell you your future and so on. I'm serious. According to the bumps on your head, you know, here, I mean, this is, and people go to them, you know, here, feel the bumps, tell me what's going on here. Isn't it amazing? You know, the Holy Spirit's there to help you the whole time. I don't need my bumps felt to tell me what's going on. Now look over in 2 Kings 21. I'll let Kathy rub my head. That'd be a lot better off. 2 Kings chapter 21, and beginning here in verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now jump down to verse 6. And he made his sons pass through the fire, means he offered them as sacrifices unto pagan gods, and observed times, that's astrology, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, you don't have to turn to this, but 2 Chronicles 33, verse 6 is a repeat of what we just read here. Now, look in 2 Kings chapter 23. And here in 2 Kings 23, take a look in one verse, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. So here we see Josiah getting rid of anything that had to do with the familiar spirits. Now look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, look at verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. So when Saul began seeking after this, the witch of Endor with that familiar spirit, that's part of what caused his death. The witch at Endor. You ever want? Remember the TV show Bewitched? Remember Samantha's mother's name? Endora. Where do you think they got that? Now, look over in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And let's see here. Read in beginning in verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? In other words, you know, why in the world would you, as a person who's alive, seek after that which cannot give you life. That shouldn't the people be seeking after their God instead of seeking these things? I mean, this is in the Old Testament. You don't think that applies today? Sure it does. So why in the world would a Christian waste brain cells reading their horoscope every day? Why? Why do that? That's not of God. That's birthed out of this whole familiar spirit, astrology, and I mean, all the stuff the Bible's talking about. Why would you do that? Why read it? I mean, you get more out of a fortune cookie, you know? I mean, at least you have something to eat with the fortune cookie. Look at Isaiah 19. In verse 1, it says, "The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother and every one against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards." So here we have another reference of people seeking after familiar spirits. And what do you have as a result of that? Judgment is coming upon those people. Look in Isaiah chapter 29. And in verse 1, "Woe unto Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill the sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow. It shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust." In other words, people are going to die when the judgment hits. Now, here's what we've done in these passages that we've just read here. Everything we've just finished reading over the last few minutes. This is every reference to a familiar spirit in the entire Bible. There are no references to familiar spirits in the New Testament anywhere. You cannot find that phrase. "Well, Brother Martin, I don't believe that." Well, just go ahead and get your computer and check it out. It's not in there. Now, that doesn't mean they stopped existing. It just means that we have read that phrase, familiar spirit or familiar spirits, as much as it appears in the entire Bible. So God's giving a lot of warnings. I mean, the word wizard, to my knowledge, doesn't appear in the New Testament, but the stuff goes on. The word necromancer doesn't appear in the New Testament, but the stuff goes on. It's almost like God is saying, "Look, I've said so much about this, you should catch on by now." Well, let's take a look at examples in Scripture of the operation of a familiar spirit. I think I've got this one written down incorrectly. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 28. We're going to go back and take a look at this whole thing with Saul. And this one is kind of a controversial passage, depending upon what some people choose to believe. But here's what's happened. We'll kind of recap here briefly. Saul is the king, and he got rid of all the witches and the familiar spirit people, so on and so forth. Well, the Philistines in verse 4 get ready to attack, and Saul goes to find this woman that operates by a familiar spirit. So he goes in and he begins to talk to her. And he says, "You know, I want you to call up whoever I ask you to call up and inquire about, you know, what's coming." And she says, "Well, don't you know that Saul has put all the familiar spirit people and witches and so forth out of the land?" And says, "You know, you're risking my life here." And Saul says, "Look, as long as the Lord lives, nothing bad is going to happen to you." So you pick it up here in verse 11. And the woman says, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." Now look at this. "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." There's more to this verse 12 than meets the eye. Because all of a sudden this woman is really scared. She doesn't know what's going on. And she realizes that Saul is there with her. And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" She saw Samuel. He doesn't. You see this? Otherwise, he'd say, he wouldn't ask. He would not ask, what do you see? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods descending out of the earth. See this? Verse 13. The woman said to Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. In other words, she's seeing demonic activity take place. Now guys, listen. There are Christians out there that believe that devils or demons are the disembodied spirits of people who were lost when they died. And they're going around. I'm serious now. You know, if Uncle Joe died and he didn't know Jesus, trust me, he's not floating around looking for somebody to torment. And he's not, you know, floating up and down out of the earth. Trust me. Read the story in the New Testament, Lazarus and the rich man. Read that story. If that rich man could have gotten out, he'd have gotten out. He had brothers that were left behind. If he could have gotten out, he'd have gotten out, but he couldn't. He couldn't. Neither could Lazarus. Neither could Abraham. Couldn't. So, people, when they die, that's it. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Not once to die and float around for a while. When you're gone, you're gone. You're either in heaven or you're in hell. I mean, it's one of the two. So don't believe this stuff that a lot of Christians try to pass on that, you know, well, Uncle Bob, you know, where is he? No. Is he born again? Was he born again when he died? Yeah, well, he's in heaven. It's very simple. So she's seeing this demonic activity. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stopped with his face to the ground. Or he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Then it goes on to talk about the conversation. Some people are convinced this was Samuel. Well, let me throw some doubts in your mind about this. Where in Scripture do you ever see a dead saint come back? You say, Brother Martin, I have one for you here on that one. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Who appeared unto Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah, right? Sure they did. But who called them up? Who called them up? Who in Scripture called them up? You better not answer anything other than, as far as I know, I don't know. Because there is nothing in Scripture that says Jesus sought after the appearance of Moses and Elijah. Go back and read it. It's not in there. You know, it's just amazing how many times when people make assumptions, or they think they read something in Scripture that's not there. Jesus didn't call. It just says Jesus went up and he was transformed and there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah. And they're all glittering white. And then, you know, Peter, James, and John, they knew who it was. We'll build a place here for each of you. So they were scared. But Jesus never called them up. Go back and read that story. So, nowhere in Scripture do we have where anybody has called up the spirit of a saint. I mean, an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint. We can't, I mean, if you find it, show me. But it's not in there. See, you say, well, then, but it says here it was Samuel. We're talking about familiar spirits. Okay. Now let's take a look here in the New Testament. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And in verse 21, it says, speaking of Jesus and those who are with him, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Now here it says unclean spirit. Now you can do your own study later on, but when you take a look over there in Ephesians, where it lists, you know, the powers, principalities, and, you know, the and so forth, Satan's hierarchy, if you will, you don't see familiar spirits listed there, and you also don't see unclean spirits listed there. And yet, obviously, there are unclean spirits. By the way, they're all unclean. Hallelujah. It says here, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. See this? Now today, we would refer to this as the operation of a familiar spirit. Now scripture says unclean, but this is describing the operation of a familiar spirit. Now let's look at another example here. Acts chapter 16. We'll clarify this all up by the time we're finished. Acts 16. And what you're getting ready to read is very similar to what happened with Jesus, what we just read there in Mark. In verse 16, Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now remember in the Old Testament where it talked about charmers and wizards and all this other in association with familiar spirits? It's like they're always lumped together. Well, this spirit of divination would fit into that, you know, a diviner, I think is the term used in the Old Testament. With a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Okay? The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, do you remember that encounter with Saul? And that witch and Samuel, the spirit, you know, supposedly was called up. And you read the rest of that story, it's like Samuel speaking for God. Well, look here, doesn't it look like this young girl speaking for God? I mean, she says, these guys are servants of the Most High God to show us the way to salvation. Well, was she wrong? No. Were they servants of the Most High God? Absolutely. Were they showing people the way to salvation? Absolutely. They were. So, you know, some people have gone so far, Christians, to say that devils cannot tell the truth. All they can do is lie. Because when Jesus was talking about, you're of your father the devil, he was a liar from the beginning and the father of it and so forth. And they say that demons can never tell the truth, they can only lie. Well, I've got it right here in Scripture. Proves that they can tell the truth. Listen, they can tell the truth if it's to their benefit. And what is to their benefit? To lead you astray. So why was this devil saying this to this girl? It's because that devil knew the truth, that they were servants of the Most High God, there to show people the way of salvation. And as they were ministering to people, this devil knew that if the people put their faith in what Paul's preaching, and I'm saying, yeah, listen to this guy Paul, when he's gone, they're going to listen to me. Do you understand that? Because, listen. If a devil has to agree that Jesus is Lord to gain your confidence, it will. Remember, the ultimate end is your destruction. So fine, I'll agree that Jesus is Lord. I mean, in Scripture it talks about how that the devils know there's one God and agree to that and they tremble. So it's not that they don't know. It's that they'll use anything they can to their advantage. All right, now look at this. Verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, if this thing's on Paul's side, why would he cast it out? If what this Spirit is doing through this little girl was of benefit to Paul, why would he cast it out? Well, it wasn't of benefit, and he knew that. Now, notice here where it says that she brought her master as much gain by soothsaying, fortune-telling. Now, what's a great way to gain somebody's confidence when you're trying to tell them the future? Tell something about their past. If I can tell you things about your past, you'll sit there and think, oh my goodness, how did you know that? How did you know that? You know, I can, you know, rub the bumps on your head and start telling you about your past. My goodness, you got a special power. Even if I can name the name of a deceased loved one, you know. That's what this soothsaying is. This is what familiar spirits do. They know about your past. They can tell you about it. They can remind you of things that you did because they know. They know of things you did. This is one of the reasons why they can be so effective, because Christians just assume if somebody knows something about their past, and that person must be operating by the Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us to try the spirits, does it not? To try the spirits. So we don't have to just, you know, anybody that comes along and begins to, you know, prophesy, as we would say, over us. This is why you need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because you can try the Spirit the moment you're standing in front of this. The moment this thing is happening, you can try these spirits and know the difference. All right, let's go on here. These are three examples that we've given here of the operation of familiar spirits. Now, what does a familiar spirit do? Well, I've talked a little bit about that, but real quickly. A familiar spirit will reveal things about people to receptive vessels. What is a receptive vessel? A weak-minded individual. Hey, Christian or not, doesn't matter. All right? There are Christians out there that I've heard this said, you know, Satan, meaning Satan and all devils, they can't cross the bloodline. I don't know where they come up with that. I don't even know what that... What is the bloodline? Search the Scriptures. Find me the bloodline. Find it! Help me find this. It'll make for a good sermon. I'll make it sound really good. But I can't find bloodline. It's not in there. It's nowhere to be found. And yet there are some Christians who will fight tooth and nail to defend that teaching and that belief. But it's not in the Word. It's not there. Devils will speak to anybody who will listen. Case in point. Did Jesus ever hear the voice of a devil? If thou be the Son of God, the ultimate devil. Think about it. And we think we're exempt? If he's going to, if Satan has access to speak directly to the Son of God, we think we're exempt from devils lying to us? Come on. Wake up. You see, it's this kind of ignorance that causes so many Christians problems, because they end up hearing voices and they interpret all of them to be God. And they're not. They will reveal things about people to receptive vessels. So if I'm open to familiar spirit, and I'll listen to this familiar spirit, that familiar spirit can tell me things about you. Then I begin telling you things about you. And you know what? It's going to be like that Acts chapter 16 thing with the Apostle Paul. You will start listening to me, because you're going to believe the only way this could have happened is if God had revealed it to me by the Holy Spirit. I'll even say things like, "Thus saith the Lord," or "The Lord is showing me." Now the Lord can do that. We know that. But see, you have to know how to discern the difference between the real and the genuine. What else will a familiar spirit do? Attempt to speak lies into the lives of people. Convince you of something that is not true. A lying spirit, if you will. A familiar spirit will do everything possible to convince you. Now see, a lot of these things, it's like they all kind of work in conjunction. If I hear some, if I'm open to familiar spirits and they speak to me and tell me something about you, and then I reveal that something to you that they've revealed to me, then you're going to be open to whatever lie that familiar spirit would tell me that I would repeat to you. You see what I mean? So it's not just a matter of them speaking directly to you. They'll work through these vessels. And they're really, sometimes they're more effective working through people. See, look, you got to understand something. These spirits are looking for as many Christians as they can find to work through. Now, I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about influencing them to work through them. Because the more they can influence and work through Christians, the more gain they will have in the body of Christ. This is how a lot of church splits take place, and it's how people get messed up. You know, the Lord showed me that. I mean, I've heard this stuff before. The Lord showed me that I'm supposed to be married to you and not to her. So I'm supposed to divorce her so I can marry you. This stuff has happened. The Lord spoke to me and told me. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. God hates divorce. But now you believe that, you know, familiar spirit just found some lust that he can work with. What else will a familiar spirit do? Masquerade as deceased friends and family members. Sure, they can appear. Sure, they can. You know they can. If Satan's messengers can appear as an angel of light, you know they can. See, when you start talking about this, some Christians, they almost get scared. Why are you scared? Why would you be afraid of this? Well, because it just sounds spooky, devils appearing and things like that. And the problem is what? So what? If they appear, at least you know they're there. Like on Star Trek, you know? When the Klingons decloak, at least you know the ship's right there in front of you. As long as the ships are cloaked, you don't know where they are. If the devils want to decloak, let them decloak. What difference does it make? They're still there, whether you see them or not. You see this? I wish I didn't. You understand what I'm saying? Out of sight, out of mind, still there. Yes, they can imitate people, dead people. And Christians that are susceptible to this. Look, you see, for you hearing this, you may think, no Christian's this stupid. Yeah, they are. They really are. And, you know, if they think that Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe shows up to them and begins to tell them things about them. Well, Uncle Joe, you've been dead for 5 years. How'd you know what I did yesterday? Well, because I, and pretty soon you're going to start listening for Uncle Joe and waiting for Uncle Joe to show up. You won't be telling a whole lot of people about that until you can find somebody that'll agree with you and accept it. Then they'll come over to, have coffee and donuts with Uncle Joe. Seriously. What else do? They try to imitate the voice of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They absolutely will try to imitate the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said imitate, and it can be close. I mean, it can be really, really close. This is why, if it were impossible to differentiate between the two, God would have told us so. But it's not. Because in the Word, He says, you're not ignorant of Satan's devices. One of his devices is to imitate the voice of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, you're not ignorant of this. Okay, now I know it happens. Well, how do I protect myself against this? Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But these are four of the things that familiar spirits try to do. There are so many Christians that are worried about all this stuff. These familiar spirits. Well, you better go through your house and anoint all the door mantles with oil. Okay, go ahead and do that. But where do you see that in Scripture? Well, in the Old Testament, remember the Passover, they had to anoint. They did that with blood. So you better go kill something and get you some blood. Put it up there. Well, the neighbors have a dog that won't shut up at night. Bless God. No, it's lamb's blood. Don't go killing Fluffy. You've got to have lamb's blood. That's the way it works. There are so many traditions in the body of Christ. Seriously, there are so many traditions that just don't hold scriptural water. I mean, I don't care what you anoint the house with oil. Get you a gallon of extra virgin olive oil straight from Israel and go through the house and just soak everything in it. But I'm telling you right there, right now, there is no oil more powerful than the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is above every name. Just walk through your house crying out the name of Jesus. Let's go on. What can familiar spirits not do? Now you need to listen to this. Number one, a familiar spirit cannot control a person's will. It's impossible. If God won't, you think He's going to yield that kind of power over to fallen spirits? They cannot control the will of a human being. What else can they not do? They cannot read a person's mind. Devils can't read your mind, folks. But with thousands of years of experience with human behavior, they can predict people's actions based on a set of circumstances. They are the ultimate psychologists. They've studied human behavior. They know if you stub your toe, you're going to yell, ouch. Very simple example. But you understand what I'm saying. So they try to manipulate circumstances however they can to elicit a response out of the individual. They're predicting what you will do. But they can't read your mind. And another thing they cannot do is know. Now listen to this. They cannot know or freely manipulate a person's future. You know who knows your future? God. God and whoever He reveals it to. Now, do you think God sits down and takes counsel with the devils to let them know your future and what's coming? No. They don't know. They don't have a clue. You get a revelation from God about your future. You know how the devil finds out? Is when you start talking about it. That's how they know. And see, there are a lot of Christians, they don't realize this. They don't understand this. They give the devil more credit than he's due. They give him more. They ascribe more power and authority to the devils than what they actually have. Even the angels can't read your mind. The angels don't know your future unless it's revealed to them by God. God is the only one who knows. Just Him and nobody else. Now, familiar spirits can predict that you're going to go home tonight when the service is over, all right? So they understand that. But you know what I'm saying? When it comes to your future, they don't know. And they can't control your future. Now, let's talk about dealing with familiar spirits. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, look here in verse 1. Then He, meaning Jesus, called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over a few devils. All devils. You see this? And to cure diseases. All devils. All devils. He gave them power and authority over all devils. That would include familiar spirits. All devils. No exception. Now look over in chapter 10, verse 17. After He sent the 12 out, later He sent the 70 out. And the 70, verse 17, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. Okay, now, number one, Jesus has given power and authority over all devils, and then we find out they're subject unto us through His name. See this? This isn't complicated, is it? And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now He's talking about demons there, not, you know, so much the literal creatures. And over all the power of the enemy. See that? Over all the power of the enemy. Do you see this? That whatever you think the devil can do, Jesus has given us power over it. See that? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now think about this. Let this sink in. Jesus is saying, hey, listen. Yeah, okay, the devils are subject unto you. I mean, you got power and authority over all the spirits. You know, don't get so caught up in that. That's not nearly as big a deal as having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Think about this. We got Christians that are so worked up about devils, it's like they've forgotten that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, you want to rejoice? You rejoice, you're not going to hell. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven. In other words, dealing with devils is not as big of a deal as what you might think. I've given you all power and authority over them. Over all devils. Over all their power. Look at Mark chapter 16. Some people might say, well, yeah, but you know, that was just the 12 and the 70. Well, if you look here in Mark chapter 16, it says, Jesus says, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name shall they cast out what? Devils. My name they shall cast out devils. This is us. So whatever we see that the 12 and the 70 did, that same thing applies to us. We shall cast out devils. How? In His name. By His authority. The authority and the power that He's given unto us. Look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, take a look here. In verse 23, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Now look here. "And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." What does that say? Well, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and guess who buddies up with you? The Father and the Son. Let alone the Holy Spirit that he's talking about here in John chapter 14. You've got the Godhead hanging around. Think about this. Wherever you go, the Godhead goes with you. Now you tell me, what's the problem with a few devils? What's the problem with a lot of devils? What's the problem with all the devils? What's the problem? There is none, if you understand this. If you understand it. He says, we will move in with you. Make our abode with you. And now look over in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, take a look here at verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Praise God. How do you deal with familiar spirits? It's very simple. In the name of Jesus, go. Don't come back. Well, but Brother Martin, what if it's not a familiar spirit? What if it's a spirit of perversion? What if it's one of those unclean spirits? What if it's a lying spirit? What if it's a marijuana spirit? I mean, Brother Martin, what do we do? Listen, identification is not necessary. Just cast them out. Cast them away. When you look in the Bible, the life of Jesus, Peter, Paul, the rest of them, when you study what they did, when they were dealing with devils, they didn't say, "Okay, now, before we go any further, I need to know, are you an unclean spirit or are you a familiar spirit? Maybe you're this spirit or that spirit. I mean, which one are you now? I got to make sure I do this right." They'd probably just lie to you. You don't need to know what they are. They're an evil spirit, okay? That's it. And they don't belong wherever they are. Doesn't matter where they are. They don't belong there. Cast them out in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, we're dealing with familiar spirits in our church. Cast them out. Well, you know, my wife's operating by a familiar spirit. Cast it out. Well, my husband, my this thing, whatever. Cast them out. Just tell them to leave in the name of Jesus. You don't have to go through a bunch of gyrations. Now, granted, you can't live like the devil and then try to turn around and cast him out. You with me? See, the people who entertain devils are the hardest to deal with and get delivered. And you need to know right up front, there are some Christians that are entertaining evil spirits and they don't care. Doesn't matter to them. They don't even want to hear it. Don't even talk to me about it. Well, who are you to judge? I tell you, when people say that, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? It's like, you got your Bible? I'll show you who I am to judge. If I use the word and hold it up to what you're doing, and the word says what you're doing is wrong, then guess what? The judgment's already been spoken. I'm not judging. I'm revealing to you the judgment God's already released. Amen. So it's not me judging. You want to get mad? Go ahead and get mad at me. But just remember, this comes from God's word, not mine. If you look real quickly in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. See, there are Christians that entertain devils. And I'm going to show you real quickly here. In Ephesians 24, speaking to Christians, in verse 22 it says, "Put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." In other words, stop living with sin. Just stop it. Don't do it. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness." Means live a holy and righteous lifestyle. Do it. Just do it. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, we talked about this the other day, but these things that he's talking about right here are just a few of the examples of how you give place to the operation of spirits in your life. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you a talebearer, a gossiper, they're opening the door for the operation of spirits in their lives. I'm telling you now, they are. This is one of the reasons why in the body of Christ, some of the meanest, nastiest Christians you'll ever meet are gossipers. There are spirits operating in their lives. Now, I'm not saying they're possessed or inhabited. They could be. But what I'm saying is, there are spirits influencing them. Listen, when you're operating by the love of God and by His character, you're not going to gossip. You're not going to be a talebearer. You're just not going to do this. In Ephesians, look in chapter 5. And in verse 3 it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, these are just a couple of examples. There are others in other books in the New Testament that we could look at to where if you do these things that he says, that God says don't do, you're opening the door and entertaining these spirits, and don't think they aren't there. I'm serious. They're subtle. They want to manipulate through lies and through deception and so forth. They're not going to just show up with a pitchfork. They want to manipulate through words. Earlier, I was talking about, you know, dealing with these devils. And we've seen the answer here. You just cast them out in the name of Jesus. Are you concerned there's demonic activity in your home? Just go through their home. Go through your home worshiping, speaking the word of God, and using the name of Jesus. It's not that complicated. Because this is what we see in Scripture. I mean, you know, Acts chapter 16. This girl with the spirit following Paul. Finally, he can't take it anymore. He said, "That's it, no more." He turns around and he says, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." And it was over. The thing came out. And repeatedly, you know, when Jesus, you know, come out. Devils are coming out all over the place. It's not as complicated. You don't have to go to seminars, how to cast out devils. Just read the New Testament. You don't have to go to demonology classes to try to figure out what kind of demons are doing this, that, and the other. I've got a teaching series out there. Exposing Satan's War Manual. What we do is we go through Scripture and identify what these spirits, like in Ephesians, and how they attack Christians. But, I mean, how much more teaching is necessary? You see what I mean? You want to know how to identify a familiar spirit? Yes, Brother Martin, after all this, you better tell me how to identify a familiar spirit. I'm going to tell you how to identify a familiar spirit. Go home and look in the mirror. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" A familiar spirit will do everything it can to be like you. In other words, to fit into your life. Because if it doesn't, you're not going to accept it. You see what I mean? Let me give you an example. Somebody who is looking for a word from God. I got to get a word from God. Get a word from the Lord. They'd go from camp meeting to this end, looking for a word from the Lord. Sooner or later, somebody's going to give them a word from the Lord, and it's probably not going to be from the Lord. It's going to be somebody operating by a familiar spirit. That's all a familiar spirit needs. You want a word from the Lord, do you? Okay. Well, I've got a vessel over here who just loves to listen to me. We'll give you a word from the Lord. And because that fits into what you want in your life, you're open to it. But now I'm going to tell you the best way, seriously, to identify a familiar spirit, you spend time in the presence of Jesus Christ continually to the point to where your spirit is so sensitive to the difference, it does not matter who comes into your presence. If a familiar spirit begins to operate in any way at all, you're going to know it. You'll know it immediately. Some people would say, well, that's discerning of spirits. No, that's just spiritual sensitivity. Discerning of spirits is a gift of the Spirit. It is not a daily walk of the believer. Spend time building yourself up, edifying yourself, conforming to the image of Christ. And you'll know. You'll know the difference between the voice of a familiar spirit and the voice of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll know the difference between the lies and the truth. You'll know. You'll know. The little red light will go off. The bells will ring or whatever on the inside. You'll know the difference. But not spending time with God leaves you open to the deception that familiar spirits will work in your life. Now listen, the only reason that I shared this message tonight, well, that's not the only reason. I was going to say it's because it's come up so much. I'm not responding to what comes up. I'm responding to what the Lord leads me to do. But the reason this message was taught tonight is because there are so many people in the body of Christ that are just really worried about this whole familiar spirit thing. And I'm telling you, it's not as big of a deal as what people make it out to be. Are they real? Yes, they're real. We've seen it in the Scripture. Do they operate? Yes, they operate. Do they try to influence? Yes, they try to influence. They do all these things. Okay? But we're the children of God. We have overcome them. We have more power in us than they have. God has given to us, just the fact we're born again, God has given us power and authority over all spirits. There is no reason to be afraid. Aware? Sure. Bible says so. Aware. But afraid? No. Overly concerned? No. Worried about how do we deal with it? No. You know, one of the worst things you can do is say, well, bless God, we're going to take you to the pastor and let the pastor cast the devil out of you. Why don't you do it? The reason you don't is because you don't believe you can. And the reason you don't believe you can is because you've bought into a lie that makes you think you can't. When right here in the Word of God, we've read it, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has given to us, the body of Christ, the authority and the power over all devils, over all spirits. So if you think some stuff's going on, just deal with it. You're not going to control another person's will, but you can control the devils that are influencing them. So familiar spirits, big whoop. Are they out there? Yes. Was Jesus worried about them? No. Was Peter worried about them? No. Was Paul worried about them? No. Should we be worried about them? No. I have the right to use the name of Jesus. Praise God.